Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
With this blast of Arctic air that's forecasted at least to be coming our way and bringing sleet and freezing rain by the weekend, there's a lot of attention being given to the weather. I was telling Danny earlier today, I was amused to watch the forecaster down in Houston point to East Texas and call it the Hill Country. And my mother was equally amused to watch the CNN meteorologist the next morning point to Louisiana and call it Illinois. Raises the question of how reliable the weather can be if they can't get the states or the parts of the state right. When I worked in the television newsroom, we used to take lots of phone calls from people who would get upset that the weather forecast hadn't been accurate. And I would frequently remind them that these people who were doing the forecasting were simply guessing. The weather people didn't like it when I said that, but it was very often true. After all, they're not prophets. They're not certainly divinely inspired prophets. And we think about the certainty tonight with which we have prophecy and the certainty that it is fulfilled. There are lots of prophecies in the Bible. Certainly those concerning Christ are the most complete of all subjects treated by the prophets, especially those in the Old Testament. Even if we limit the prophecy to those specifically said to be fulfilled, such as we heard tonight in our third reading from St. Matthew's account, we would still have a good set of prophecies about the Messiah. And of those prophecies regarding his birth would still be a sizable group. This midweek Advent series that we have before us, this Advent, focuses on some of these prophecies of Jesus' birth. Sort of two prophecies in one tonight, the theme, the seed of a virgin. And the readings that you heard in the psalm were all along that theme. Tonight's first reading, of course, is for many of us the familiar story of the man and the woman's fall into sin. Aside from the devil's temptation of the woman and her giving the food to her husband, we focus tonight more on what comes after that. After the Lord has confronted them, after they have denied or hidden from the Lord and blamed one another for the fall into sin, the Lord gives them what is often called the first gospel, the first promise that there would be a Savior. Of course, he doesn't fail to condemn their sin. He calls their sin, sin, and he tells them quite bluntly the consequences of it. They will eventually die, for from dust they were taken, and to dust they will return. And as their offspring, their descendants, we bear that same condemnation, and rightly so. Not just because we inherited their original sin, but because we in turn go out and commit actual sins. Things that we should do, that we don't do, and things that we should not do, that we nevertheless do. The curse to the man and the woman are also the curse to us. From dust you were taken, and to dust you will return. And yet there is the curse to the serpent, that is the promise to us, that from the offspring of the woman, the line, the seed of the woman, will come one who will crush the serpent's head, even though the serpent will crush or bruise, is the way it's usually translated, his heel, strike the woman's seed's heel. Some translations, the New International Version that we maybe were more familiar with more recently, translates those as two different verbs. In the one case, crush, and in the other case, strike. The Hebrew verb there is the same, and the version we read here tonight from the English Standard Version uses the word bruise in both cases. The difference is not so much in the severity of the attack as it is the place that is attacked. The seed of the woman crushes the serpent's head, defeats him, destroys him. And in the process, the best the serpent can do is lash out at the heel of the seed of the woman. Not exactly a fatal blow, unless maybe your Achilles or something like that. For the man and the woman who had initially denied or hid and then blamed one another for their sin, this promise of the gospel brings repentance and faith. And in this Advent season of repentance, you and I likewise turn from our sin in sorrow. Repent. We trust God to forgive that sin for Jesus' sake, and we want to do better. There is a change of life that even our hymns have already referred to this evening. We want to do better. And when we repent in such ways, then God forgives our sins for Jesus' sake. As some read the next chapter of Genesis, the fourth chapter, some, including, for example, the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther, Eve declares when Cain is born that she thinks she has the fulfillment of God's promise to send a Savior. The Lord made man. Behold the man, the Lord, she says. But it wasn't for hundreds of years later that the fullness of time had come, as Paul puts it in the second reading, that God sends forth his Son, born of a woman, at the most appropriate moment in human history. The second person of the Blessed Trinity is born of a woman. He's fully God and fully human in order to redeem you and to redeem me from our sins. Like his adoptive father, Joseph wanted to be to his mother, Mary, the Son, Jesus, is merciful. He's merciful to you. He's merciful to me. There are lots of intervening prophecies, of course, between the first prophecy of the seed of the woman destroying the serpent's head and Jesus' birth. One of those prophecies is that given to Isaiah at the time that Ahaz was king of Judah, when Judah was under siege from the kings of Syria and Israel. And the Lord asked Ahaz to name the sign that God would protect them and defend them. And Ahaz refused to name one. So the Lord gave that sign himself. Behold, a virgin will conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel. And in that promise is the promise of the Savior, God in the flesh with us to save us. And that very prophecy, St. Matthew in our third reading says, is fulfilled with the birth of Jesus. A virgin bears a child. And we shouldn't miss the miracle that's hidden in the meaning of those words. The Holy Spirit conceives Jesus in the Virgin Mary, and she gives birth to a son. And his name is Jesus. The Lord saves. Very similarly, Gabriel, when he announces the birth to Mary, says, "You will conceive in your womb and bear a son." When you just hear it from St. Luke, without thinking of Isaiah's prophecy, you might miss that the words are almost exactly the same. Gabriel seems to be recalling Isaiah's prophecy as he declares the birth to Mary. It's not that the naming is confused. Emmanuel, God with us, is Jesus. The Lord saves. He is present with us to save those who believe in him. He is present with us to save us in specific ways. He is the living voice in the preaching of his word. It is his word. It is his office which preaches it. And it is his power that calls to faith and repentance. The seed of the virgin is present with water in holy baptism that adopts us as the Father's children in the language of the second reading. We become his brothers and sisters, heirs with him. It is the seed of the virgin who forgives us as individuals through a pastor's words. It is the seed of the virgin who is chiefly present with his body and blood in bread and wine. It is the same body and blood conceived in the Virgin's womb that suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried for you and for me. The same body and blood that descended into hell, rose again from the dead, ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. The same body and blood that will come again on the last day to judge the living and the dead. The Holy Spirit calls us by the gospel, baptizes us, absolves us, and feeds us with Jesus' body and blood, and changes our lives. We cease to live in our sins, but rather live in the forgiveness of sins, wanting to do better, loving, serving, and forgiving one another, daily repenting of our failures, and daily believing in Christ for the forgiveness of sins. He came, He comes, and He will come again, all for you and all for me. We'll know by this weekend and the beginning of next week how accurate the weather forecast is. And in some sense, that's, as we discussed in Bible class, how you measure a prophet, whether what they say comes true. We have to wait to see how accurate the forecast is. But we don't have to wait to know whether or not the prophecies that we are given by our holy God are going to be fulfilled. The prophecies of our Savior's birth have been fulfilled. The prophecies of His coming to us now in His word and sacraments are being fulfilled. And the prophecy of His final coming will, as certain as those other prophecies have been fulfilled, will themselves also be fulfilled. The seed of the Virgin came, He comes now, and He will come again, for you and for me. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.